Okay. All right, it's time to wrap it up. Good morning. And happy Mother's Day. And those words just really don't express how much I appreciate every mother, every mother who is raising children right now. I know it's a challenge, putting it lightly. And every mother in the faith, when we gave the applause this morning, I felt like we were kind of distracted still. And what I have in my heart coming out is more like the roar of a lion, just roaring for you, cheering you on, giving you a big roar. You deserve a roar of applause. Let's give you one right now. Come on, come on. Let's give it to the mothers. A roar of applause. Way to go, ladies. Way to go, moms. Way to go, moms. Okay, so I'm Jeff's wife, for those of you who don't know. Maybe most everybody does, but there could be someone watching online who doesn't know. And every year I share on Mother's Day. Thank you. I appreciate it. I enjoy it. I loved being a mother. I love being a grandmother. And we love our children. I loved all the challenges and seeing the results of following the Lord along the way. It's been a blessing. Okay, so I have a special message for you mothers today, and you could put the first slide up there, unless it is. I can't see it over here, so I don't know which one. Okay, so the title of my message today is, Who is My Mother? Who is my mother? And this question was asked by Jesus. Who is my mother? In Matthew 12, 48 through 50, it says, you can turn the slide now. Okay. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And in Greek, that word for mother is mater. And mater is a feminine noun. In grammar, it's denoting a gender. So those of you who have known me for a long time know that I love the grammar of languages. And I think sometimes we lose some of that. I don't think we get into that the details of the grammar enough, and we lose the meaning sometimes. But it does have that word there, here are my mother, mater. It has a feminine gender to it, specifically in Greek. It is unique to women. There is no question about it. It does not belong to men or anything else. It's uniquely feminine, that word. Okay, so this word, back up, the slide went a little too fast there, but was Jesus confused about who his mother was when he asked this question? Seems like there's so much confusion going around now. Had he forgotten that Mary was his mother? Maybe he had some Alzheimer's or something and forgot who she was. No, absolutely not. He did not forget. Then why did he ask this question? Who is my mother? Because he wanted to get a deeper, less obvious, heavenly realm answer. Josh talked a couple weeks ago about us living in the heavenly realm. There is a heavenly realm that when we become born again, we belong to not just this earthly realm, but we belong to a heavenly realm as well. Okay, so this word, mater, that Jesus used here when he said this, may be translated literally or figuratively. It can be immediate or remote. His answer in Matthew 12 points through his literal immediate mother Mary to his figurative, not literal, but symbolic heavenly realm mother. He says, in that realm, all those who do my Father's will are my mother. Jesus' mother was his immediate literal mother, Mary. And also, this word can mean a remote mother. So it can mean his remote mother like Rahab, who's listed in his genealogy. Rahab, who hid the spies, who was not a Jewish woman, okay, in his lineage. It wasn't just Jewish in his lineage. And she was a very sinful woman, but she was a woman of faith, and she hid the spies, and so she would be considered his mother remotely, okay? And his figurative, immediate, and remote mother is all those women who do his Father's will. Amen. You and I are Jesus' mother if we do his will. Okay, you can move on to slide 4. Please. Okay. In Matthew chapter 2, it says, they, meaning the Magi, saw the child with his mother, and the Greek word is matros, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. His answer here, when he says, who is my mother, does not deny or diminish the identity of his literal immediate mother, Mary. Jesus' question, who is my mother, includes Mary, but is not limited to Mary. It includes Mary, like it did here. We find in Matthew 2, the child with his mother, his matros Mary, they bowed down and worshiped him. They did not worship her. They worshiped him. They had every opportunity to worship her, but they didn't. They worshiped him. They worshiped Jesus alone. Okay, and you can, next slide, please. This word that Jesus used is metros. When the Magi saw Mary, okay, that word for mother is metros. It means a measure or meter. His answer limits the role of his literal immediate mother, Mary. Okay, you can go on. In music, a measure is a specific unit of time. A musical measure has a beginning and an end. It is finite. Okay? Like Kathy prayed for the people who have lost their mothers in the past year or two. It's finite. You had her for a specific time. She had a specific purpose, and now that's over. She had her opportunity. Those of you who have little children, you have your opportunity. It's not going to last forever. And that is a very specific job that God has for you during that time. It is finite. Next slide. In math, a measure is a number that shows the size or amount of something. Therefore, metros, that he says about Mary, is limited because it is measurable. She is limited because she is you can measure the job that she did. In fact, it started to disappear when Jesus was 12 years old, and he was found teaching in the temple. And she said, oh, well, I don't know where he is. She was not all-knowing. She had no idea where Jesus was, and it was a few days, and they had to go back and find him at 12 years old because he was about doing his Father's will. Her job was starting to diminish, right? And we can see that with Jesus. Okay, so Mary's role in Jesus' life was measurable and limited. They both knew that. Your job as a mother is limited. My job as a mother is limited. We cannot do it all. We are not God. Okay? We cannot be everywhere at once. We cannot know all things. We just can't do it all. We're limited, and we're flawed on top of it. So take a big, deep breath, mothers. It's not all up to you. Okay, next slide. Who is my mother? We could ask the same question that Jesus asked. Jesus asked a lot of questions. I love looking at all the questions he asked, and I like this one. Who is my mother? There is one literal immediate answer for Jesus. It was Mary. For me, my mother's name is Donna. Donna. She was here for the C.S. Lewis movie, if you came to watch that, was that last Saturday? Yeah, last Saturday. Okay, she comes for the Christmas Eve service. That's my mother. Who is your mother? Who is your literal immediate mother? Say her name out loud. Say your mother's name out loud, dead or alive. Okay, I knew that would sound like a little mixed up. Jesus never abandoned his literal mother for his father's will. We see this at the cross in John 19, 25 through 26, when he saw his mother, he's up on the cross, and gave her care over to his heavenly realm brother, John. Did you ever wonder why he didn't choose one of his literal brothers, like James, Joseph, Simon, or Jude, for the job? He never abandoned his little literal mother, and he never put her above his heavenly father's will either. Jesus took care of both at the same time. Have you ever heard the saying, they are so heavenly minded, they are no earthly good? This is built on a false premise that we cannot do two good things at once. For example, I am dreaming of a warm summer. Therefore, I cannot plant a garden. That is ridiculous. How about instead saying, they are so out of touch with reality, they are no earthly good. Okay? If we're heavenly minded, we should be earthly good. But if somebody's out of touch with reality on earth, then they're no earthly good either. Jesus was never out of touch with reality when he was heavenly minded, as is seen at the scene with his mother at the cross. There once was an erroneous teaching in the Christian faith that a person who was really doing God's will would abandon their earthly family to do God's will. It reminds me of the Pharisees who had their Corban. And it says in Mark 7, 1 through 13, and he said unto them, to the Pharisees, full well do you reject the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he that speaks evil of father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, the Pharisees, if a man shall say to his father or his mother, that wherewith you might have been profited by me is Corban, that is to say, given to God. I'm reserving this money or this help, and I'm giving it to God, so I can't help you, okay, with your family. You no longer allow him to do anything for his father or mother, making void the word of God by your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do, okay? So Jesus never meant us to be investing in his kingdom and doing this heavenly realm work and not taking care of our families, our mothers, our fathers, our children, all that. That is an erroneous teaching. It does not line up with the whole word of God, okay? So you and I have a singular literal mother, and at the same time, we also have an assorted figurative heavenly mother. Even if you have not delivered a child ever, you can still be a mother in the heavenly realm, in the kingdom. If you're doing God's will, you can have children in the kingdom, okay? When I asked Jesus this question, who is my mother? Who is my mother? It's a good question. My answer is my literal mother, Donna, and at the same time, every female who does the will of my Father in heaven. You are my mother. Who is your mother? Say the name again. Who is your mother? Say her literal name of your mother. Then say, every female who does the will of my Father in heaven. Say it. Every female who does the will of my Father in heaven. That is your figurative mother that Jesus was talking about in that word when he said, who is my mother? She is a mother who does God's will. She is you. Okay, how do you know what God's will is to do? Or if indeed you are doing it, okay? It's all about a relationship. It's a relationship. You're his mother in heaven when you're related to him, okay? When you come into his family, if you're a female, you're related to him. And the guys, too, you're related to him. But specifically today, we're talking about the mothers. So if you desire to do our Heavenly Father's will on earth as it is in heaven, you are my mother, and I am your mother in this heavenly realm. So hopefully today you will have a broader view of your mother. And those of you who have lost your mothers, like Jeff did a few weeks ago, and we had the memorial service yesterday, you still have a mother. You have a lot of mothers around. You have other women who are doing God's will, and they'll mother you, and they'll, you know, help you out and all that stuff. Okay, so so we as women, I don't know about you, but I might say I have a strong will. And I am sure that my husband and family and those of you who know me would agree with that. Yeah. I have a strong will, and that is a good thing. It's like having a strong mind. You want to have a strong mind. You want to have a strong will. That means you're healthy, okay? The problem is, when that will is not aligned with God's will, okay? Now, it's okay, ladies, if you have a strong will, and it's not always aligned with the Father's will, he knows, and he's really big, and he's really strong, and he can really help you if you want to align your will with his. And sometimes I don't always get this right, but eventually we get there, right? So when my will is not aligned with God's will, all kinds of problems ensue, okay? So I think we're on the next slide here. How do you know what God's will is? Today I will give you three biblical tools found in Micah 6:8. We mothers may use to identify and test whether our will is aligned to our Heavenly Father's will, as Jesus was making us a part of the second answer to Jesus' question, who is my mother? Because some people say, well, I'm doing the, you know, I want to do God's will, but I don't know what it is. How do I know if I'm doing God's will or not? I'm going to give you three tools out of the Bible to help you know whether or not you're aiming at the right place or not. Okay, so in Micah 6:8 it says, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. The Amplified Version says, and what does the Lord require of you except to be just, to love, and to diligently practice kindness and compassion, and to walk humbly with your God, setting aside any overblown sense of importance or self-righteousness. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? That's the English Standard Version. Who is Jesus' mother, and how do we know? She does justice. Micah 6:8. The first thing she does is she does justice. And the Hebrew word for justice here is mishpat. Mishpat. Which means mode of life, order, properly, rightful place, rule, way prescribed, and what is right. That's justice. That's that Hebrew word. Mode of life, order. My generation, I've heard we put a lot of emphasis on order. And I can see that. We do. Things have to be in the right order, in the proper order. My generation, we were taught that a lot. But I'm not sure every generation has that as something really important. But it's mishpat. It's mishpat. She does what is right, okay? What is right. She teaches what is right to her children. She doesn't leave it to anybody or for them to figure out. She teaches them what is right, okay? She sits securely in her rightful place, okay? There were some angels in heaven, and they were all up there, and they were in their rightful place, and some of them got the idea that they would rebel against God. They gave up their positions of authority, it says. They gave up their positions of authority. Mothers, we have a position of authority that God has put us in as mothers. Don't give it up. Amen. Don't give it up. It's our rightful place. And it says she rules. She rules. It's the rightful place, and we rule there. Okay? She makes proper decisions. She makes proper decisions. Her mode of life and prescribed right way is to follow the Spirit instead of a formula. Okay? That is the way that we're supposed to be ruling and knowing what is right. We know the word, but it says the children of God follow the Spirit of God, Paul told us. We follow the Spirit of God. So when you are making a decision as a mother, for example, this is one thing I have thought about a lot. Some people feel condemned because they don't send or because they don't homeschool their children. That's one. Some people are led by the Spirit to send their children to public schools. Some people are led by the Spirit to send their children to a private school. Some people are led by the Spirit to homeschool their children. You have to get to God's heart and know. We homeschooled our children for a time, and we knew there was a time when it was supposed to be over, and we changed it, and there were people mad at us. You know what? I am doing my Father's will in heaven. I'm not doing everybody else's opinion of what I should be doing, and they don't know. I feel like asking, have you prayed about this and fasted for like a week, and you know all the things that are going into what God is doing here for us? There are unique things that God wants to lead you into with your children, and you should be following him and not everybody else's opinion. Okay, they're all good options. I like all of them. I love public school. I love homeschool. And I've come to like private school a little better than I used to. And they're all good options. Okay, so she lets justice. Amos 5:24 says, she lets justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. She lets justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. That's what you do as Jesus' mother. You let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And next slide, please. There's this example of this woman who I know who did this. Right there. That was about 3 weeks before she passed away. This is Jeff's literal mother. She let justice roll on like a river. She was teaching her son what is right. Now I've kind of lost my place here. Okay. She is not my literal mother. But she's a mother to me. She's a mother in the heavenly realm, she was to me. And she aimed to do her Father's will in heaven. She let justice roll on like a river. She sat securely in her rightful place as a mother. She didn't start out securely in that place, but as Jeff gave testimony yesterday, she got more secure and more secure and more secure. She wasn't at the beginning. She didn't realize what a secure place she had as a mother in the Lord, but she figured it out, and it got better, okay? Who is Jesus' mother, and how do we know? Next slide. She loves mercy, according to Micah 6:8. So this is something you can look for. She loves mercy. Jesus' mother, figurative mother, is a woman who loves mercy. And the Hebrew word for mercy here is chesed. I don't know if I've never took Hebrew, so I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But it means deeds of devotion, faithfulness, kindnesses, mercy, and unchanging love. So this, if you're his mother and you're doing his father's will, you are loving mercy. Okay? And deeds of devotion, like your devotions, okay? You're doing your devotions. You're reading the Bible, praying. And it means steadfast, unchanging love. She stays steadfast in storms. Her love doesn't change. She stays steadfast. She shows kindness. Do you see that kindness is? You don't get to pick who you show kindness to. She shows kindness to friend and foe alike. If you are a mother and you are targeting the will of the Father, this kind of kindness should go to friend and foe alike. Okay? She shows kindness. Now, you don't have to be somebody's best friend. You're not going to be. Jesus wasn't Judas's best friend, but he was still kind to him, right? So one time, I'll just tell you this short story about me. I had this enemy, and I don't even know why she didn't like me. I mean, she didn't like me from day one. Okay? And I was supposed to be teaching her some computer programs, different things. Okay, so she just gave me the hardest time and was nasty to me. And she was, I don't know. I thought there were some mental health things, so I went to some other people and asked, are there some mental health issues here? You know, I wasn't sure what was going on. But anyway, she came right up to me and she said, "I'm going to get you fired." And I was like, good luck, you know. You better talk to my Father in heaven if that's not his will. This is what I'm thinking. So what does God have me do? Yeah, be kind to her. She still doesn't know it. I mean, he had me, like, go out of my way and do something extremely kind that she doesn't even know that it was me to this day, okay? And another time, there was a lady from another faith, obviously, the way she was dressed up. And it was right after 9/11, okay? This was another thing. And I heard the Spirit tell me, of course I got to sit beside her at this training. He said, be kind to her. I'm like, oh, man, be kind to her. I was just going to, like, kind of, you know, mosey around and pretend like I didn't notice her. So, but when you get a directive like that, be kind to her. And I was still like, you know, I was still trying to process through the whole 9/11 thing and who can you trust and, you know, what's going on here. And the Lord's telling you to be kind to somebody who could be your foe. So I did it. It worked out really well. And she actually ended up working for our government because she knew like 5 languages. But anyways, there you have opportunities to be kind to friend and foe alike. Also, please be kind to your friends too, okay? That works out nice if you're actively kind to your friends. Okay, this Hebrew word for mercy, she does not fall out of love, unchanging love. She does not fall out of love. That's having mercy. She desires mercy and the acknowledgement of God rather than sacrifices and burnt offerings, like Hosea 6:6 says. So I know this lady who never fell out of love. Next picture. Jeff's mom. We remembered her yesterday at the memorial service, and I thought, you know what? His mom was a woman of mercy. She never fell out of love. She stayed steadfast amid storms, especially toward the end of her life. So if you're going along in your life and you live in the same house and everything's kind of steady, and then you get old and you can't help yourself, and all of a sudden you keep being moved around and you don't know where your next place is going to be, that's what happened to her, and she stayed steadfast. That's about 3 weeks before she died right there that I took that picture. She stayed steadfast among the storms. She stayed true to God. Okay, she was singing. I think the day that she died, she was singing with Jeff and Heidi and couple days before she died. Okay, she loved to do deeds of devotion, like playing the piano at church, hosting Bible studies in her home, missionaries in her home, praying. Yesterday at her memorial service, we heard all kinds of testimonies about how she was an intercessor, and then she would follow up, too. Like the intercessors, ladies, follow up. How's the person doing that we were praying for? So we heard that testimony. Some of you mothers, when you aim at the will of God, you have no idea what they're going to be saying about you at your funeral. And you, let me tell you, they were saying all kinds of things about this lady right here praying at her funeral. She did not fall out of love. She was steadfast. She was a woman of mercy. Who is Jesus' mother, and how do we know? She walks humbly with our God. Jesus' mother walks humbly with our God. The word here for humbly is tisana, which means to be modest or humble. Be retired. That's restful, right? If you're retired, you're restful. Keep close. Keeps close. Reserved. Preserved. And lowly. Lowly. She knows who's really boss. Even if you and I have a strong will, we know who's really boss. We know who's really going to have his way, because we're lowly. We're walking lowly with our God. She rests in God, who she keeps close. She reserves from airing her own opinions. That's what this means, lowly. It's one of the definitions. I can remember a few years ago, I don't know how many of you ever do this, but are you like me? I like to air my own opinions sometimes. Rather than waiting and finding out everything that's involved, I'm just like sticking my own opinion out there. And the Spirit told me, this was a few years ago, I got like in trouble. Like, you know, a fool airs his own opinion. There's a proverb that was like... Okay, so I was like trying to keep it a little more reserved from doing that, because I don't think I have all the information. I don't think I know everything, okay? And I'd rather air God's opinions and his word on things than my own. She preserves. It says preserved here, lowly, preserved. She preserves her original being as designed by God. Okay, we want to preserve who God made us to be. That's being lowly. We can't define ourselves. We'll be confused and mixed up. We want to say, who did you make me to be? We want to preserve that. We want to find that out a little bit more, and we'll be happier that way too. She humbly rejoices in the Lord, Isaiah 29:19. So I thought of this woman who demonstrated to walk humbly with her God. And this is a picture of her, right there, okay? So she walked humbly with her God. She knew who was boss up to the end. She kept saying she wished it was time for her to go because she was in so much pain. She's just like, I just wish I could go. I'm in so much pain. I wish I could go. And I remember saying to her, but you're not the boss. You don't get to pick the time. And she's like, yeah. She had to wait patiently until her heavenly father took her home. And you know what? She had a lot of pain in the meantime. And I can assure you that if you do the Father's will like Jesus did on the cross, there can be some pain along with that. Don't think that you're not doing his will because you're feeling pain. Okay, you could very well be doing his will. And it won't last forever, though. It didn't last forever for Jesus, so don't think it'll last forever. But you may feel some, you will feel some pain. I'm going to put it that way. Okay, Jeff's mom was really good. She reserved from airing her own opinions unless asked. So they lived with us for almost 2 years, and I can tell you she did that. She would reserve. She would try to find out like a lot of information before she said anything. She just wasn't somebody to jump to conclusions and air her own opinions. So, mothers, mishpat justice benefits the greatest number of people. doing the right thing according to our Heavenly Father benefits the greatest number of people. When Jesus did his Father's will, even Judas's silver paid for burial places for foreigners. Like right down to the nitty-gritty. Everything that you do, women, mothers, everything that you do that aligns to the Father's will, he will use it for the good for the most number of people. It isn't just for your good. It's not all about you. He wants to benefit a lot of people, way beyond anything you can imagine. Okay? Chesed mercy pays off in the long run. Being kind to both friend and foe pays off in the long run, not the short run, and it's very painful. You may have to suffer in the short run, all right? And that is like part of the humbling part there, too. That helps us with that. Tasana humility keeps God closer than anyone, even one's own matros, literal mother. That kind of humility that keeps God close, keeps him closer than your own mother. Our children, I expect all of them to be closer to God than they are to me. Because guess what? That's going to benefit me and you and everybody else. It's going to be better. I trust God that much. When you get closer, when you stay close to God, it's going to benefit everybody. If you're not close to him, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. Okay, so who is my mother? Jesus asked, Jesus knew Mary was his literal mother, but he also meant his figurative mother, who was any woman who did his Father's will. We all know you and I aren't Jesus' mother, Mary. She was one of a kind, right? But we are Jesus' figurative mother when we do the Father's will. We are Jesus' mother. We become his mother. When we do justice, when we love mercy, and when we walk humbly with our God, that's when. We have all these other ideas of what we should be doing to be a good mother. How about if we just focus on these three? You don't have to keep your house all spotless. Nobody told any at Jeff's mother's memorial service yesterday. Now, she was a spotless housekeeper, but partly because his grandmother lived in there, too, and she helped. Nobody talked about that. That didn't even come up. Nobody talked about the fact that Jeff went to public school. Never came up. But I'll tell you what, these three things came up. When we do justice, when we love mercy, and when we walk humbly with our God. Do you want to see more clearly today the aim of Jesus' figurative, symbolic mother? Do you want to be that mother to Jesus? If you do, then place your hands on your eyes and see. Do you want to receive the power to do God's will in your position as mother? Then reach out your hands today and receive. Do you hear God calling you to his will and not your own will today? Yeah. Then cup your hands over your ears and listen, okay? We want to listen. And while you're doing that, and I literally want you to do that, either touch your eyes, reach out your hands, or cup your ears, whichever one hits your heart the most, while Rose and Jayla Wagner are going to sing a song over you today. I bless you today, mothers, in the name of Jesus, to do the Father's will on earth, even as it is in heaven. Okay? Jayla? Okay. And Rose.
Your will be done, my God and Father, as in Not bad for having COVID, right? That's why they were doing it remotely instead of here today. I wonder if you'd stand with me. Jody, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us and God's word with us. And men, I just want to say there was something in there for us too. It wasn't just about the ladies. We are also doers of God's will. Father, thank you. Thank you for your life that you so freely give to us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word in abundance. And I pray now, Lord, that it would find good soil in our hearts. And I want to particularly pray that the moms today would feel free to love you, to do justice, to love mercy. Lord, let your blessing rest upon them. As we go from this place, help us to be good followers of you this week. Lord, you have our attention. We pray that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you need prayer before you leave today, there'll be some of us up here that'll cover you in that way. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful week and a happy Mother's Day again to all the moms. God bless you.